Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Good morning. Good to see everyone on a Labor Day weekend. Hey, guys, good to see you all in this section here. Amen. Good to see you. And I'm expecting a lot of amens from this section this morning. It's good to have all those who are joining us online. Some are traveling and they are attending church with us on the road. It's good to have you here with us. We just want to have a recap of what we have talked about so far in this series. And this is our last sermon on the comeback series. So before we close that out, let's just have a recap. I remember the first sermon that Pastor Aaron preached about the ramifications of sin. And I remember vividly the pictures of the locust devastating the fields, that there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin as a nation. And there are consequences for sin as individuals. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life eternal. And then we talked about repentance, that if my people shall humble themselves, repent of their sins, I'll forgive them. Not only will God forgive, but He will heal our land. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful. So after the forgiveness of sins, after the repentance, we saw the renewal, that God will renew His people, will renew His church. I remember on the restoration sermon, Pastor Dan, when he spoke and said, God wears your colors. That God is for you. That God supports you. And last week we talked about revival, which is where we are going to kick off our sermon this morning. That God gave a promise to the church. We are hard pressed from all sides. The pandemic, people dying, and some of them without getting any visitors at all, because you couldn't visit. Some families had to say goodbye to their loved ones via Zoom because they couldn't be there. We couldn't hug each other. We couldn't have life the way we are used to having it. Many questions in our society. We don't know our identity as a people. Who are we as a society? And where is God in all these things? And Joel chapter 2, verse 28, there was a promise that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God is going to have the last say. It's not COVID. It's not any other movements that are springing around that will have the last say on the state of affairs on earth. But God himself will have the last word. And he promised that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. His spirit is going to move like never seen before. And the Jews, they had a mistaken notion. They thought that this was just a promise for them. But the Bible says, upon all flesh. And we see in the book of Acts, Jesus had told his disciples, sit tight, tarry you in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. When he comes, he will give you the power. He will give you the energy to be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem and spreading throughout the four corners of the world. And the disciples, some of them, the Jews, they were not happy when they saw the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. And they were told that this promise is for everyone. It's for you and it's for me. It's for the body of Christ. Regardless of your age, we are promised this Holy Spirit. It's God's power. If you have an electrical appliance, if you don't plug it into the power source, is it going to work? It's not going to work, isn't that so? You have to plug it. And God's power is in his spirit. And until the body of Christ, until you and I are plugged into the Holy Spirit, we will not experience these things that we are talking about this morning. And the final part of our series is the redemption. What God is going to do in the end to the church, to his body. The book of Joel, like the book of Revelation, was addressed to God's people to encourage them to persevere through difficulties that they faced. And it is an understatement to say we have difficulties that we are facing today as a society. The book offers the perspective or a vision of a periscope. When people are in a submarine, when they are submerged in the water, they are surrounded by the all darkness. They cannot see the enemy ships above, and they rely on the periscope to show them things that their natural eyes cannot see. So these two books, when we are surrounded by the turmoil, when we are surrounded by the pain, when we are surrounded by the hardships, the unknowns, God gave us these books so that we could see far beyond what our natural eyes can see. And let's see what he's promising with this periscope vision. Verse 17, where we started. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy, Never again will foreigners invade here. The Lord your God will dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Zion, my holy temple, is the temple mount in Jerusalem. So to kick off this new adventure that God is going to do on planet Earth, that God is going to do with his church, it starts with his presence. He will reveal himself. He will give a revelation to his people about who he is. I have lived with my wife for 33 years now. We talk a lot. We have influenced each other so much that sometimes I say, you know, I'm thinking of this. And then she says, I was thinking exactly of the same thing. Or she says, I'm thinking of this and this. I say, you know, exactly that's what I was thinking. We have lived long enough with each other. We have influenced each other long enough. We have known each other long enough that we can second guess one another. And God is going to reveal himself to his people. It's not just coming on a Sunday morning or just coming to one Bible study, but it's about you having a relationship so much that you come to know God at a personal level. He comes to know you and he reveals himself to his church. And he dwells in Jerusalem. That's where his presence is. Growing up in Africa, I was the only boy amongst five girls. Maybe that's why I'm so kind. I think my sisters rubbed a lot of stuff on me. We had a door at our house that didn't lock. And naturally, as a kid, sometimes you are worried that your door doesn't lock. But as long as my father was home, that didn't bother me much. I felt like he was my superhero. I felt like he was Superman, that whatever would try to come, he would be there to protect us. These times that when he wouldn't be home, I felt very vulnerable. I felt unprotected. And all the things that are going to happen to the church here, starting from verse 17, they are going to happen because the Father is in the house. Amen? They are going to happen because God is in Jerusalem. They are going to happen because God will be dwelling in the presence of his people. And the Bible promises that he inhabits the praises of his people. And when we start praising him as a church, when we start worshiping him as a people, his presence will be amongst us. And David knew this and he says, what? I'll enter his... Somebody finish it up for me. I'll enter his courts with... Amen. When we praise him, when we worship him, his presence is with us. That's the starting point of redemption. Amen. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live within them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears. Are we shedding tears? Are we crying? Are we being pressed from side to side? Are we worried about the state of affairs? The Bible promises that God will be our God, and God himself will wipe away our tears. Are we suffering injustice? Do we feel we have been unfairly treated? Do we see some people cheating in life and getting ahead and seemingly having everything going their way? I have news for you. When God is our God and we are his people, he will wipe away our tears. And he promises that he will dwell amongst us. And the first verse where we read, it says, Jerusalem will be holy, and never again will foreigners invade him. His temple will be holy. And God will show himself as the mighty God, as the all-powerful God. He will show himself as the God who, when he breathed, he parted the waters of the Red Seas. He will show himself as the God who appeared to Moses in a burning bush. How big is your God? He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the God of creation. He is the God who raised Christ from the dead. That's the God that we come to worship. He is not dead. He is alive. And his word is quick and sharp. That's the God that we come to worship. Amen. And he dwells amongst men. And verse 22 in that same chapter in Revelation, it says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The nations will walk by its light. The nations. It doesn't say nation, meaning people of many nationalities. Asians, blacks, whites, everyone, South Americans, and the nations will come to him. This is not only talking about the Jewish people. And it was all coming from his throne. So this is the key verse in our message, that the Lord will be present with his people. And when the Lord is present with his people, then these other things that we are going to look at quickly are going to happen. We go to verse 18. In that day, the mountains will drip new wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of acacias. I just wanted to quote an author that I love. Her name is Margaret Feinberg. She noticed a gap between understanding the ancient world and our own. And she asked these questions. What does it mean to know Jesus as the Good Shepherd when the only places I've encountered sheep are petting zoos? How can I understand the promise of land overflowing with honey when I buy mine in a bear-shaped bottle? Is it possible to grasp the agency of Jesus' invitation to abide in the vine when I shop for grapes at a local grocery store? All that I'm trying to say is, this scripture that we are looking at is coming from an agro-based economy. And in the times of technology and mechanization that we are today, it might not be easy to grasp. But all that this scripture talks about is that there will be prosperity back to the land. We had seen earlier on in the book of Joel where the locusts had devastated and destroyed the land. There was no longer production. There were no longer cattle to produce the milk, and the vines had died down. And God is promising that because of his presence in Jerusalem, a change is coming. And how is that change coming? There shall be waters that will flow, and they will flow into the deserts and start producing life. And Jesus meets the woman at the well, and he said, "Girl, whoever drinks water from this well is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give shall never thirst again. Why? Because I am the water of life." And we are seeing here from God's presence, the rivers are flowing out into the world, are flowing out into the desert, giving lives. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters." Maybe where you go to school, it's a desert. There is no life. People are surrounded by hardships. Parents who are fighting, they have no hope. And you, because you have the rivers of living water in you, can be a solution to the life of your classmate. Maybe in your work environment, it's a desert. Things are tough. They curse each other. They are trying to trip each other down for promotion. The Bible says, out of your bellies, because you are in that situation, rivers of living waters can flow from within your life and affect the lives of those that are around you in that workplace. And what do we see as a consequence? We see fruits where there are not supposed to be fruits. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit comes with. He comes with baskets full of free fruits of the Spirit. Not only does he give us power, but he gives us fruit of the Spirit. How much is that needed in our dry, hungry, thirsty world today? Somebody say amen. Thank you. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem. And we have seen that this new Jerusalem that John saw in the book of Revelation, it's referring to the saints. It's referring to the people of God. It's referring to you and me. And from us, living water will flow out to other people. And Revelation 22 verse 1 it also repeats the same thing. "And on that day the angel showed me the river of the water of life." And finally, the third thing that happens, we've seen that because of his presence, the blessings that flow from his presence, the last thing that will happen is that there will be retribution. There will be judgment. But Egypt will be desolate, Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations shall I leave their innocent blood unavenged? No, I will not. Judgment will come. Like I said, there are a lot of things that we see that are not right. It's not your job, it's not my job to make things right. Judgment will come from him. Maybe you're seeing deals that are happening and people are just shooting to the top in life. Judgment will come from him. And maybe there are people that are fighting that, you know, God doesn't exist. There is no God. Judgment will come from him. Maybe you know of people that say, we go to church, but their lifestyle, they live like cousins of the devil. Jesus encountered that. And he said to his disciples, let the wheat and the tares grow together. It's not your business to pull them out, lest you also pull the wheat. But on that day, when he judges, it's up to him who correct and right things that are not right. Judgment will come from the Lord. So we have a symbol of Edom and Egypt. People that are always troubled the people of God, but judgment was to come to them. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations. And we said Jerusalem, it refers to us, the people of God. We shall live forever. Jesus promised us the gift of life eternal. This is not all. These 70 years, 80 years, 90 years that we are on earth, it's not all. We have the promise of eternal life that God has promised us and that he will give to his people. Judah will be inhabited forever. And verse 21, their blood guilt which I have not, I will pardon. And he accomplished that on the cross when he paid once and for all our sins, that our debt was paid in full, that we are forgiven, that we are justified, that we are cleansed. And lastly, it ends with the words, the Lord dwells in Zion. We have seen him dwelling in Jerusalem, which are his people. And in conclusion, the Lord dwells in Zion. The Lord dwells amongst the praises of his people. The Bible says in the book of John, the word became flesh, and the flesh lived amongst us. And his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us, God dwelling with men. God dwells in us. That's what this is all about this morning. It's about God dwelling with his church, God making us his temple. For Paul says, know you not that you are the temple of God? God does not delight in temples made of brick and mortar. God delights in dwells in the hearts of his people. Let's just take a moment here this morning and just be quiet and close our eyes. This text is supposed to give us hope and encouragement in the times of hardships, that the Lord has not abandoned us, that God is about to do something. He's about to do a new work amongst these people. Just have a couple of minutes whereby you pray in your heart and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Father, we join Paul this morning in his prayer when he prayed that I may know him, O God. We pray, Father, that you help us that we may know you in our lives, in our hearts, that we will have a desire, O God, for your presence in our lives. Help us, Lord. Amen.